In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Lord be with you. Brothers and sisters, we are here to celebrate the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, praying for priests, and praying in thanksgiving for the decision of the Supreme Court today. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that we, who glory in the heart of your beloved Son and recall the wonders of his love for us, may be made worthy to receive an overflowing measure of grace from that font of heavenly gifts. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus addressed this parable to the Pharisees and scribes. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy, and upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Since I know so many of you, I have to ask if I've ever told you the story about the lost sheep that I tried to save in Scotland. Oh, good. Can I tell that story? Yeah? So I went to Scotland to visit Mary Bringhurst, who was there doing a gap year in service. I think a bunch of you probably know Mary. So she was at this really awesome place in Scotland, which is actually where my ancestors are from. So it was very cool. I felt very at home. Beautiful place at the foot of not a great mountain, but a really good mountain climb. And up this mountain climb is the Stations of the Cross. So you work your way up and you pray the stations on your way up. And at the very top, there's this really old Celtic monks. They built it, so it's not like, 2,000 years old. But this old Celtic monks cell, which is built out of stone, looks like a beehive kind of thing. So I was very excited to go up there because I love those things. And on our way up, we heard this noise, and it was a baby lamb, crying for his mom. He or she was lost. And I was like, Mary, this is my chance to live the scripture verse that every priest wants to live. To go and get that sheep and put it on my shoulders and bring it home to its mother. Work my way up, and the sheep is like, I don't know if I'm comfortable with you being that close, and screaming very loud. And you can see the what do you call a herd of sheep? Whatever it's called. All the sheep, all the big sheep over there, down the hill and into the valley on the other side. So I'm trying to, talk to it nicely and come up to it, and it's backing up, and then it jumps, and it's just screaming, terrified of me. The closer I got, the farther away it got. And then I thought, oh, this is the moment. It's actually going to jump into my arms. And I thought, the sun will break, and it'll be a beautiful, glorious moment. But no, it jumped the other way and ran down the hill back to the herd. So I did not get to live my scriptural moment. But it was really awesome to get that close to this scripture in a really living way. I mean, how often do you get the chance as a priest to be on a mountainside and find a lost sheep, literally. So I have to settle as a priest for finding the lost sheep down here, which is a good thing, because that is what is at the heart of Christ, right? And we are here to celebrate that Sacred Heart, the heart that beats powerfully for love of each one of us. And that's what these scriptures talk about. They talk about the intimacy of God's love and care for each one of us. God as Father, God as Holy Spirit, and God as Son, who gave us the most incredible example of His love. Now think about that. The power of God's love, so intense, so unyielding, you can do nothing, commit no sin that will stop God from loving you. Nothing. You may have known people in your lives who say, "My love is unconditional. I will love you no matter what." But in everyday life, how many times have you really come across that? Someone who loves you as madly, as deeply, as perfectly, as consistently, as intimately, as sacrificially as God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, husbands and wives, make a commitment to love each other in a way that reflects the love in the Trinity between Father and Son that gives rise to the Holy Spirit. But that is humanly impossible. It takes the grace of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, rootedness in the divine life of God that we are drawn up into through baptism, in order to love another person in such a way. Singularity of focus, which is really hard for us. That kind of love. The love that goes out of the way. The kind of love that we should have for other people. That no matter who they are, what they think, how much they disagree with us on anything, that we would love them like Christ loves us and them, and seek after them when they're lost. Share the incredible truths of what it means to be loved by God in this way, in the ways in which we can talk about, in the ways in which we have experienced it. And that may be more for some than others, because some of us have a hard time receiving that love, right? Some of us have a hard time receiving that love, not just from another person, but from God. How many of us in hard times and challenging times, when we're feeling kind of depressed or despairing about some things, do we isolate ourselves, hide ourselves, and push away the love that others are trying to express for us? Even avoid going to church in order to avoid the brilliant love of God for us. Sometimes even there are those who sin who feel the pain and the grief of that sin so much. God couldn't possibly love me enough to forgive me for this. Just keep God over here. Keep that burning heart of Christ far away. Some of us are so afraid of the transformation that's possible in the love of God, that we cannot bear to be more than this close to the burning love in the heart of Christ for us. Because we're afraid of what that's going to do to us, how it will change our lives, how it will change our relationships. Fall into that heart and let that love transform, make new, raise up the burning heart of Christ. We're called to be like the Apostle John. Like at the Last Supper, when he was at the table, reclining, and he had his head in the bosom of Christ. Think about that. He could hear the pounding heart of Christ. In full knowledge of the depth of Christ's love for him. And he could feel his own heart beating. Imagine the two hearts, his and Christ's, beating in unison. Love for each other. Love for God. God's love for us. Beating in unison. Which is the great image of our lives lived in Christ. For our hearts to beat in unison with his, in unity with him, with the will of God, with the way of God, with the truth of God, you know? And for it to become so felt, so real, that we can imagine gazing at Christ and him gazing at us, looking into his eyes. Can you imagine? Maybe close your eyes and just like Christ, that deep, profound, pure love for you coming through his eyes, melting your heart, lifting your burdens, longing to embrace you, drawing you closer to his heart, where yours and his beat together as one. That's an embrace I would never want to leave. And that, of course, is heaven. That pure, profound, powerful love of God expressed most perfectly through that heart of Christ. I'd like you to keep that image. Just that peace. As you enter into this evening's time of prayer and worship, as you gaze upon Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, as Christ in the whole communion of saints gaze upon and minister to you, and while you still bear within you him who you receive in this communion, settle into that. The Lord will touch you. Amen.